And take it away, CJ.
Thanks, Jeff. And thanks, Lonnie, for asking. And gosh, it's so good to be here with all of you to see some faces I haven't seen in a while and some that I get to see a lot. You know, what a gift, right? And that kind of leads me into my topic on the doctor's opinion, and it's the spiritual sickness of isolation. Old ideas and isolation, and how that kept me so very sick for so very long, and how very crucial our solution is to healing that. So we know about the cravings. Most of us here, I think, you know, we've heard a lot about cravings, and my craving and my need for approval, my need for you to like me, my need to feel like a part of, you know, my need to feel not so different. And a lot of my addiction was spent using it to heal that. So where I was really going to focus on, believe it or not, is the back of the very end there of the doctor's opinion, where it's talking about Dr. Silkworth talks about his needing a mental uplift. And he says, I often think of another case brought in by a physician prominent in New York. The patient had made his own diagnosis and, deciding his situation hopeless, had hidden in a deserted barn, determined to die. He was rescued by a searching party and in desperate condition brought to me. Following his physical rehabilitation, he had a talk with me in which he frankly stated he thought the treatment a waste of effort unless I could assure him, which no one ever had, that in the future he would have the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. His alcoholic problem was so complex and his depression so great that he felt his only hope would be through what we then called moral psychology, and we doubted if even that would have any effect. However, he did become sold on the ideas contained in this book. He had not had a drink for a great many years, and I see him now and then, and he is as fine a specimen of manhood as one could wish to meet. I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. William D. Silkworth, MD. So, you know, I use I'm an alcoholic. Absolutely. I am a compulsive eater. Oh, beyond telling. And chaos creator. Absolutely. Absolutely. Controller fixer. Absolutely. And I truly can connect very much so with this guy. Although I never ended up in a barn, I definitely ended up, you know, in my own home, locked in, drunk or compulsively eating or obsessing over how to, you know, fix somebody else or change the past, my greatest insanity, you know, and all of this self-centered fear, the self-centered manipulation, this trying to feel okay within my own skin was just the very allergen that kept me coming back to the same things over and over, and creating that same diagnosis, you know, that I had to find out, I had to fix it. And it never worked, obviously. You know, I kept drinking, I kept eating, I kept controlling and fixing. And it was in isolation. It always seems to be in isolation, even though I had a family around me. And even sometimes in the rooms, I mean, I can come into a space like this and be absolutely isolated, you know, in my own head, thinking about something else, not being present and listening and being a part of, but in here trying to take your inventory and judge you by what you're saying or not saying or wearing or not wearing. I mean, honest to God, This isolation is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And it doesn't want me present, and it doesn't want me with you. It wants me alone and against you. So the isolation, you know, got broken, and I believe this with all my heart, by the grace, the great enabling power that came into my life and got me into this, the 12-step community. It was here that, and not just BBA, but just in the 12-step communities in general, where you had a solution, you had an experience, and you were willing to share it. And that saved my life, because I finally started to hear myself, you know. And the isolation too was that Pete and repeat was just because I had my thinking had no other direction, you know, and I believed what my head was telling me, until I came in here and you guys gave me words for my life. Really, I can only say that, coming in and listening to other alcoholics and other food addicts and other, you know, compulsive controller fixers, and I started to hear me, the same thing. You're not feeling good enough. You're not feeling a part of. You're not feeling you fit in. Not just always feeling off. And that gave me the courage to start to want to listen for the first time in my life, really, to somebody else. Because just like, you know, Dr. Bob says, when Bill went to see him, you know, we heard the stories, like, yeah, I'll give him 15 minutes, you know, I'll give the guy 15 minutes just to shut everybody up, basically. But Doc, you know, Bill started talking and Bill could hear. So the hopelessness that came with the drinking, with the eating, you know, with the controlling, fixing, and it just never worked, never worked. Everything was temporary. Everything was temporary. You know, the victor only seems to win was basically my whole life. Where I'd win an argument, or maybe I'd lose the weight, or maybe I'd control a situation for a half a second, but it would all fall apart again. And there was how my disease manifested in the continuing, chronic, you know, progressive, more having to bury the lies, more having to, you know, just burying all the feelings and picking up. Now, I was a military spouse, so every couple of years, I got that, you know, geographic change. And it would be the same thing over. I'm starting all over again, that new, you know, I'm not gonna get involved in the community. And little by slowly, because I couldn't manage relationships. I couldn't manage anything, really. I was completely unmanageable, but I had no clue. No clue. I had no clue that I was powerless. I had no clue. No clue. I just kept banging my head against that brick wall, and the pain got too much. And every time we would move, it was like a little piece of me kept dying with this thing, you know, the real CJ kept going underneath, and this chameleon would try to come out, and it just never worked. You know, it just never worked. And anger, envy. Oh God, envy. Just, boy, you want to talk about a debilitating, isolating, sickness. Envy's it. You know, I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it. That'll take your life right out from underneath you. And again, I knew there were these things were wrong, or there was something not, there was something not healthy here. But at the same time, that rationalize, minimize, justify, deny, blame, they were paramount in my survival. Those were my skills then. That's what I used on a daily basis, you know. And the more I used them, the more isolated I became, the more stuck in my own prison. I personally never experienced, you know, jail. I've never really been in an institution, but I have been, because I couldn't see out of my own eyes. I couldn't experience my own heart. I was such a total loss of just everything. So angry. And so just completely all alone in my own being. And to me today, as I even just say this out loud, I just think, wow, I know I can't be alone in this, because I've heard you guys talk the same feelings, you know, the same experience, just like this guy saying, even in this small paragraph, you know, I'll bring me to physical rehabilitation, you know, yeah, I could stop drinking for a little while here and there. And, you know, my husband would go out to sea, so I was in charge of the kids. So, you know, I wouldn't drink while he was gone for however long, but boy, the food would take over. And, oh, then I could put the food down for a little while, but there was just no peace. There was no peace. The misery, the torture was just as the doctor's opinion says, you know, I was maladjusted to life, both life and reality. But the truth was, you know, I couldn't differentiate the true from the false anymore. And the deeper I got into the isolation, not telling anyone, not talking to anyone, putting on the face, going to the whatever thing we had to go to and making this next move, and even like pushing my children away and resenting you and resenting him and resenting her and carrying around, just because it gave me some sense of power, I guess. It gave me some sense of protection, you know. It made me feel somewhat secure, but at the same time, the pain was just overwhelming. And I ended up drinking myself into oblivion. I drank myself into incomprehensible demoralization. I ate myself into incomprehensible demoralization. I've Al-Anon'd my way. You know, I've alligatored my way into incomprehensible demoralization. That one, unfortunately, folks, I have to say, that one still, I still can put on that alligator face pretty quick. And that my relationships, I think, are probably my hardest place still. But as far as being isolated around it anymore, I'm not. The fear of talking about these things for me is dissipated greatly. Does it mean it's perfect? No. Do I want to come in here and tell you guys this stuff? No, I really don't. Of course, I'd like to look all sunshine and roses, but the truth is, I still have a long way to go. You know, I have a long way to go. But what I do have today is much like this says. You know, I became sold on the ideas in this book. Thank God. And came to meetings and put the drink down and put the food down and tried to put down the Al-Anon controlling and fixing and listen. And it's taken, I am of the slow learner category for sure. But the ideas in this book kept drawing me back. You know, this for me, this great grace, this great enabling power, used you guys, used Bill, used Bob, used the first 100. They've put it down in here. The meetings, you know, COVID came and I was just coming back to abstinence. I just been in BBA a couple of years and my absence was just occurring in my life. Really, my Al-Anon issues were starting to explode in my life. So I had to really face those. I don't know what to tell you other than this great enabling power and BBA doing this book this way, becoming convinced and hearing others in who took BBA to their fellowships. Thank you, God. And shared their BBA experience in their fellowship. Remaining. Thank you, Jeff. I was brought here to the Big Book Awakening and the fourth step and an incredible first step that I'd never experienced anywhere else. Learning how to turn statements into questions, learning how to get really rigorously honest, you know, and face this thing called isolation, because I want to protect. I don't want you to know the real CJ. I don't want you to know that I still lose it and say things that I shouldn't. I don't want you to know that my daughter 2 weeks ago asked me to pack my scale and my food and leave her house because she's still drinking, you know? And I didn't handle it well. I didn't handle it well. Life backs up on me sometimes still. There's no doubt about it. But the difference today is, like this guy, you know, there's hope. There's absolute hope. I'm being sued right now. There's a lawsuit that my husband and I are dealing with, and we could lose everything. There's a chance we could lose it all. The miracle is I am not drinking, eating, acting out on relationships, maybe a little bit less than I used to. But the truth is that there's hope, and I know this great power. Because I've heard you guys, the we, right? That isolation is over in my life. Because why? The three sides of those triangle. You know, I come in here and I take that seriously, that triangle, you know? Just like really the doctor's opinion says, I come in here and I've got to get altruistic, right? I can't stay in CJ's box and my head and figure it out anymore. I have to let go of these old ideas, absolutely, and be willing to come back here to you guys, come back to this book, and trust that the ideas contained in here are going to continue to help me grow and heal and change and come out of this sickness of isolation. Because I don't know about you guys, but that's like the first place my disease wants me to go. As soon as I've got something going on, I come in here and I'm judging you and I'm listening to you and she's thinking this and he's thinking that. And my head starts going crazy and I start to pull out. I start to separate. I start to become apart from. I start to pull back. And as soon as that starts happening to this addict, I know I am not far from picking up the first, whatever it's going to be, to send me back into the depths of this thing and the self-pity and the poor me's and that separation and the separation and the separation, you know? So for me, I truly, truly love this last sentence. And perhaps he came to scoff. He may remain to pray. And honestly, today, I pray to remain. Because on my own, in isolation, I'm dead. The power of the first word in the steps is we. And I thank my God from the bottom of my heart that I know my God better. Through all of the ugly and the good and the hard and the beautiful and the grandbabies and the, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here saying, yeah, right now there's some real life stuff showing up. But the truth is, you know, Saturday, I got to watch my two baby grandsons. They're 19 months old. Oh my gosh. My friends, you want to talk about, I'm going to cry, the connection with these little ones. Then my daughter, who 2 years ago sent me so powerfully into Al-Anon because she stopped talking to me. Anybody who was around then, it was probably one of the most painful things ever. Today, I watched her children. God brought me to the same town as her. Can you believe this? 9 months ago, we moved to the same town. If you had told me a year and a half ago I'd be living here when she wasn't talking to me, watching her children, helping her house hunt, I can't even begin to tell you that all this other life stuff, fine. God, bring it on. Bring it on. Because I have a place. I have a solution. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, and I don't have to choose isolation today. I can choose to come in here, to get up every day, get on my knees, seek this God, and seek my God with you and, you know, in an altruistic movement. And I just am eternally grateful. And I'm going to pass with that and just thank you all for your patience and tolerance. I can't wait to hear.